Heavenly Father, we come before you now, and we are grateful. We've been saying it all week long. We're grateful for the freedom to gather and to worship you openly. God, we know that's a blessing, and we're grateful, but we're grateful that we get to gather together as a church with family and friends and those who are attending for the first time. And Lord, I know that with this many people coming together, that we've got different stories, different longings, different hopes, different fears, and Jesus, you are enough to meet each of us right now, right here. So please, as we open your word, as we tell your story, would you remind people that you're enough and that you're worthy? Lord, we ask all of this in your name. Amen. Two things before you sit down. First one is, would you help me thank a whole bunch of people, the musicians that have been practicing and rehearsing, the worship leaders at each of our campuses. Wait. There's more. These people are amazing. But you know the people behind the scenes who are making the lights and the sound and all of this working? The camera guys, the tech people who are getting this out to our other sites and around the world. Our folks in our Kids Crossing who are teaching your little ones about Jesus right now in a way that they can understand. The folks who made the coffee, the people who helped you find a parking space, the people who helped you find a place to sit down in this church. So many different people. Now, you ready? Let's thank them all. All right. So grateful, so blessed. That was number one. Second thing I want you to do, you know those people that you just said hi to? Go one layer out. Go find somebody you don't know and introduce yourself, learn a new name or two, and then have a seat. Go ahead, do that right now. All right. So I've been asking this question all week long. Has anybody else noticed that even in our divided, stressed out world, when it comes to Christmas, there's still a longing. There's still this hope, this anticipation. Maybe it's an ache for something more. I don't know what it was for you. There's a reason that we asked you to help us with that question at the beginning of the day. What is it that you long for this Christmas? But I would just say pay attention to that longing. Because I believe there is one who can address and satisfy that longing. I believe there is a Jesus who can make sense of your story and this world, and I believe that he is enough for each of us. In fact, I think you can build your life on him. And I know some of you are here, and you're here with a friend, you're here with a family member. They invited you, you did them a favor, you lost a bet. I don't know how it is that you got here. But for some of you, you're like, man, just slow down there, Reverend Happy Thoughts. I don't know that this is for me. I get that. But I would suggest to you, whether it's like you're barely in the door or you're here today hanging on to every word that Jesus has for you, he is enough. In fact, I would say that whether you're ready to jump in or you're holding back, whether you're somebody who believes or somebody who scoffs, I think this story of Jesus is for you. I think it's worth exploring again. I want to take you to Luke chapter 2. We're basically going to look, if you want to know today, we're going to look at, like, I think a couple of big Christmas passages, and I might sprinkle a couple of things in between. It just depends on how we go. But let's just go to the most famous Christmas passage. It's in Luke chapter 2. All right, so I'll start with verse 5, but just to give you the setup, there's a fellow named Joseph. He lives in Nazareth, which is to the north in the Galilee in Israel. He's now got to go to Bethlehem because that's where his family is from. He has to go there to register for tax reasons. Isn't that a fun thought? But we're going to pick things up in verse 5. He, this is Joseph, went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Now, you know this story. This is a young couple that's been pushed around by the empire like so many other people, but they're pledged to be married, it says. Now, if you understand the Jewish tradition, they're already legally, they're married. Luke is very tenderly saying something here in this story. He is saying their marriage hasn't been consummated yet. Are you tracking with me? We've got little ones in the room, people. Are you tracking with me? They're married, but something hasn't happened yet. And yet she's pregnant. Now, it's not Joseph's baby, and here we are. We're at the miracle pregnancy. And yes, I do believe it is a miracle. And yes, I do believe that Mary said yes to the miracle. If you go back a chapter earlier, she has agency in this story. She's the one, go back and look at it. She's the one who says to the angel, yes, okay, as you have just said, may it happen. But the miracle happened. Now we need to talk about what a miracle is. By definition, a miracle is when the Creator God intervenes in his creation, because he gets to do that. He intervenes in a way that sort of upends the natural law, the way things normally work. Now, I'm tipping my hand to you. I believe there is a Creator God. I think there is enough evidence in the world for us to examine that there's a creator of all of this. It didn't happen by accident. And that means he can intervene as he sees. But it doesn't mean these miracles happen every 13 and a half minutes. I mean, miracles, like, should be rare. They should shock us. Natural laws, like, are predictable. They're reproducible. We know how things, that's how science works. We know how things work. When people come to me and say, well, you know, Greg, I still think flying is a miracle, even after all these years. No, it's not. No, it's not. There are engineers in the room right now. I see some of you. You could, on the back of a napkin, begin to explain lift and how this works and the physics and all of that. It's not a miracle. Those of you who are, like, you're nervous flyers, can you imagine if flying, like, really was a miracle every time you got on the plane? Like, you're sitting down in a cold sweat, you're buckling in, you're not listening to anything they're saying, because it's like, oh, Jesus, I need you to violate all of your natural laws now, please. As you walk on the water, may the metal tube now soar through the sky. I think I'll just drive. No, miracles, when they happen, and I do believe they can happen, they should make us pause and go, what's going on here? That's what Mary is asking. Go back and read the story. She's trying to make sense of this. Our friend and theologian Amy Orr Ewing puts it this way. She says, the text actually creates space for our skepticism. So if that's you today and you're going, wait, I got questions about this, welcome to the crossing. Let's go. Let's talk. I'm just asking you to stay open to the possibility that there is more. And if you want to talk to somebody about how this works, if you are now curious about spiritual things and you want to know about this spiritual life and who God is, we would love to have those conversations with you. In fact, the easiest way for me to connect you with men or women who love those conversations is just, let's just do it the old-fashioned way, email us at pastors@thecrossing.com, and we will connect you, and you can start having that conversation. We actually do believe this happened. Now, the baby is born, Mary wraps him in cloths and puts him in a manger, which is a feeding trough for animals. Now we get to the shepherds. These fellows are working the night shift. We're back to the supernatural. It's just there. There is an angel, a messenger from God, that steps into this plane of existence in a way that just shocks those shepherds. He has a very familiar message. We've heard this message before. Do not be afraid. Too late. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah. That means Christ. That means the King, the Lord. He is divine. So there's a lot there. But I want you to notice that he says, a Savior has been born. Guys, I feel, I don't know how else to say this except to be direct. And I need to be able to say to God someday that I told you the truth. I think there is coming a day where each of us will stand before a holy, all-knowing God and have to give an account for our life. And if you're still in the I'm the boss of me mode, then you're going to get there and say, you know what, God, I think I was the boss of me and I did pretty good. I mean, I did better than that guy. I'm just telling you, I'm not the boss of me. I didn't do better than that guy, and I need a Savior to stand with me in that moment. That's why this is good news. But the other thing I want you to see here is that there's a baked-in invitation. Because if you keep reading, what the angel says is, this is going to be your sign. Your sign. You guys will find the babe wrapped in cloths and lying in a feeding trough. These are no-nonsense, practical, work-with-their-hands kinds of guys. They need a no-nonsense, practical clue. The angel gives it to him. You want to know what baby I'm talking about in Bethlehem? Go find one that's sleeping in a feeding trough, because that doesn't happen very often. The main thing to see here is that they were invited. See, I'm telling you, you were invited to the story. You are not here by an accident. I know many of you are saying, well, no, I'm here because so-and-so invited me, or because, you know, God brought you here for a reason. Now, our invitations look different than the shepherds. Let's try it this way. You ever been invited to something like that? I don't know. It could be something big, something small, something fun, where you just went, hey, I was invited and I went. I said yes to it and it turned out pretty good. It could have been you went to a party and you met the love of your life. It could be you got invited backstage to meet somebody. It could be you got invited across the cul-de-sac and now you don't feel like the newbie in the neighborhood anymore. I don't know what it is. Maybe somebody invited you to something at school. Somebody near you has a great invite story. Will you go back to some of these people that you're meeting now? Somebody there can say, hey, here's something I was invited to. And turned out pretty good. So go ahead, talk to each other. We do this around here. What is something that you were invited to that turned out pretty good? Go ahead, talk to each other. Anybody here got a great story? Let me give you one. For, oh, yeah, go ahead.
I was invited to go to the Muni by a young lady who later became my wife, and we've been together now 62 years.
Wow. So you were invited to the Muni. First of all, cool invite. And that young woman turned out to, or ended up being your wife now of 62 years. Yeah. It's a good one, brother. That counts. That counts. Let me give you one from Fenton. Somebody said, I was invited to the beach when I was 17. And you're like, okay, that's cool. I had never seen the ocean before. So you go, wait, no. So you just kind of open things up for somebody. I was invited to someone else's family for Christmas when ours wasn't around. You ever felt like you were the orphan, like you were the one that was, and then somebody invited you into something? I'm telling you, there's so many ways that an invitation can change things. But here's the question. All of those cool stories that you had, some of you had, what if you hadn't said yes? Like, what if you just said, nah, I'm okay. The angels give an invitation to the shepherds, and the shepherds say yes. In fact, I love their response. When this angel goes back to the, you know, let's just go and see this thing that happened. Let's go check it out. And they do, and it turns out to be true. And now they tell everyone, and they go back to work worshiping and praising God. But they're not the only ones who are worshiping that night, because that angel that delivers the news is now joined by a host of angels who now together fill the sky with this song that we know, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Why wouldn't they sing? I mean, this is the pivot point of all eternity. If this story is true, you guys need to understand, if this story is true, then we're not here gathering for a Christmas tradition. We are gathering to celebrate the moment that changed everything. John says in his gospel, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Now, just so you understand, John's speaking poetically, and Jesus is the Word, okay? So Jesus becomes flesh and makes his dwelling among us. Now, if you really want to feel the weight of that, you got to go back a few verses because he says, the word, look at this one. The in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Now put Jesus in there. In the beginning was Jesus. We're talking in the beginning. So that makes Jesus an eternal being. And Jesus was with God. Whoa, wait. And Jesus was God. John just pushed us into the deep end of the pool, and we don't have time today to discuss the mystery of the Trinity, but what John is saying here is, I walked with him. Jesus is God. I know the one who spoke the universe into existence. You see, if we're going to understand the beauty and the glory and really the just the power of this story, we need to understand that Jesus is God. I love the way Eugene Peterson puts it in his rendition of this verse. He says, the word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. See, now it's going to get personal. And the best way for us to understand how personal it's going to get, so that this isn't just like a big old churchy thing, I think, is to go back and look at some of the names of Jesus. You're like, well, how many names? We'll get to that in just a second, but there are many names and titles that are given to Jesus. Can we just say that names are important? Your mom and dad thought about why they named you, how they named you. You may know the story behind it. Some of you are new parents. You're about to be new parents, and you're thinking a lot about the name, and the name matters, and what is that going to be, and the meaning that is poured into that. But your name matters. We said a few weeks ago that MRI scans have shown that when you hear names, when you hear your name, something sparks in your brain at a completely different level, because it's like, oh, hello, that's me. Names matter. Tell you what, let's have some fun with names. Some of you have been pre-selected to help us with this, and if that's you, then come on down, as they used to say. Maybe they still do, I don't know. So hey guys, thank you so much. I need three of you here and three of you here. So come on over here, and we've got one more. Thank you, sir. Diego's gonna help you. Yeah, you'll just come over here. All right. Now, let's just first of all, it's going to be a thing you're going to do together, but you need to introduce yourself to each other on the team, okay? First of all, introduce each other on the team. You guys are trying to get to the test. Do you know each other? Meet each other. You're not even meeting each other. Meet each other. This guy wants to get an A on the test, I'm telling you. Okay, all right. Now, would you tell me your name?
My name is Rory Dawson.
Rory? DJ?
Ray.
Ray?
Natalie?
Ryan? Faith. Ooh, okay. All right. Now you can do it. All right. You ready? All right. So what they're looking at here is these are musical artists and songs that these artists are famous for. So you guys connect them. Go on ahead and draw them. You guys play at home. Go on ahead and lean over. Help each other. See how many of these you can get. We're not going to give you long. You got, what do you say, Steve? Let's give them like 30 seconds. Is that it? 15 seconds? Yeah, okay. 10 seconds. All right. We're gonna give you 10 more seconds. See if you can get them. You got 10 seconds, guys, 10 seconds. Make a commitment, you got 10. And that's it, okay. Pencils down. Pencils down. All right, turn around and score yourselves. You guys score at home. Here are the right answers. Okay, so Outkast, Ms. Jackson, Neil Diamond, Sweet Caroline. Everybody got that one right, didn't they? Yeah. Okay, you want to sing it, don't you? Sweet Caroline, stop it. You could have gone all the way through that thing. So good, so good. Listen, I just want you to go back 15 minutes. Do you remember when Lloyd was telling all of us, y'all ready to sing? Now just sing with us. And so many of you went, no, I don't sing in church. I don't ever. Blow lover singing public. Bah, bah, bah. Yeah, okay. All right, duly noted. All right, let's just go back. Okay, so Neil Diamond, Plain White Tees. Yep, there's that one. Elton John is a classic. Oak Ridge Boys, we're going way back. Taylor Swift, yep. Foo Fighters, that might have been a tough one for some people. St. Cecilia. Okay, so how many did you guys get?
We got them all.
Oh, whoa.
We got them all.
Okay, and how many did we get right?
Four
out of five. Well, you know what? You came in second. That's good. So here's the thing. This was fun, right? This was silly. And in just a second, we have like a gift card for you from for Living Water, and you get to pick out, we've already purchased it, and you get to pick out where you want that money to go, which country, all of that. That's cool. All right, so here's the thing. You ready? How many of you think you could give all six names of these people? Yeah, that's what I thought. See, here's the point. Names matter, and we're supposed to pay attention to names. All right, you guys are off the hook. If you'll look over there, Diego will take care of you, and y'all can just thank them. Thank you, sir. So names matter. I'm thinking we should pay attention to the names and titles of Jesus. So how many names and titles of Jesus are there? Well, by one count, 200 names and titles are ascribed to Jesus in the scriptures. That's how good he is. That's how big he is. Like, words fail us, right? This is just a sampling of it. It's not even all of it. And by the way, don't get nervous. We're not going through all of these names. I think the best thing for us to do with the time remaining is to take a look at what your longing was. So let's go back to the word cloud. You guys know how word clouds work. The bigger the word, the more of you said it. Peace, and for the record, it has been the number one longing in every service so far. Now, we've talked about different things along the way, and we would if there was a different word there. But it makes sense to me that peace is, we live in an unsettled world, don't we? We live in a world where we long for peace. We long for peace, international peace. We long for peace in our country, in our neighborhoods, in our homes, our schools, our work, our churches. We long for peace. I get it. So let's just take a look for a second at some of the names of Jesus and how he can lead us to peace. First thing I want to do is to go back to that angel's announcement. So glory to God in the highest, that song they were singing. And on earth, peace. And really what it says there, peace to those on whom God's favor rests. So really what's being said there is a kind of peace for those on whom God's grace is upon them. Like people who have received God's grace. If you want to know how to discover true and lasting peace in this world, it starts with peace with God. Jesus entered into the story so that we could have peace with God. We humans who have rebelled and rejected him, we call it sin. We humans who have made a mess of things, our relationship with him, our relationship with each other, that's what we're sensing. That's what's going on. And Jesus enters into the story. By the way, that unsettledness sort of explains what some of you are feeling because you've accomplished so much. I mean, you just graduated, you got a promotion, you're about to get married, you're about to have a baby, you're about to retire. I don't know what it is, but even then, there's something missing. I'll tell you what's missing. You were made for a peace with God, and until that happens, your heart won't be fully at rest. But the Bible tells us that if we turn to Jesus, if we trust what Jesus has done for us, Romans 5 says we are, these are direct words, we have peace with God if we trust Jesus. And if we have this peace with God, then we have resources available to us. You'll see all sorts of verses now that they'll apply to your life. So now let's go to another really famous passage. It's written 700 years before Jesus. It's our last big passage of the day. It's Isaiah. It's chapter 9. Isaiah sees this king who is coming, this one, and he makes predictions. At one point later, he says that this Messiah will actually die for our sins. He's that clear on who is coming. But right here, he says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And then he gives us four names. He says in verse 6, he says that he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, without going into a big history lesson, in the ancient world, kings would often have these titles, and they would come in four parts. Like, they would be announced, and they would be in four chunks. This thing is in four chunks. Wonderful Counselor, right? Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. If any of you here are longing for peace when it comes to your future, let me tell you about the Wonderful Counselor. When we say counselor, that means someone who gives strategy, someone who has a way of navigating a way forward. They have wisdom. When we hear the word wonderful, it means so much more than it does in our world. It's a kind of otherworldly, divine wisdom. What he's describing here is this king who is coming, this child who is born, will have the wisdom of God that he offers you. If you're trying to figure out how to navigate this next year, if you have things that you are like, I wonder which way I'm supposed to go, there is a God who moves in close, and this Jesus is the wisdom of God. I mean, he's the wisest man who ever lived. It's why we go back to his words. It's why we trust him and we follow him and we try to apply him to our lives, because this Jesus doesn't just have an idea of how things should fit together. He knows exactly how they should fit together. You see, I don't know the future, but I do know the one who is leading me into the future. Perhaps today, Wonderful Counselor is for you. Some of you are going, man, I'm not thinking about the future. I've got a storm happening in my present. I've never had one like this before. Don't show your hands, but is anybody here in a storm? Like, you saw it coming? It's been brewing for a while, or maybe it just came out of nowhere. Let me tell you the truth about life and what we see in the scriptures and what the gospel says. The gospel we read in the New Testament is not all giggles and gumdrops. It's not all cupcakes and unicorns. It's not all sprinkles and rainbows. Okay, you guys get the point. It's not. There are times when it's going to be hard. There are times when it's just going to seem like unjust and unfair. God says, I will walk with you in the storm. I have no idea what some of you are facing, but I know some of you are facing the fight of your lives. It's a medical thing. Some of you have told me it's a financial thing. It's a career thing. It's a relational thing. It's like that friendship just fell apart and I don't know why. It could be an addiction. It could be any number of things. And right now you are going, I feel so outnumbered. Jesus says, I'm here to walk with you through it. I absolutely and fully believe that Jesus will deliver me through to the other side of the storm. But y'all need to hear me. Jesus wants to be with you in the storm. So I say, pray bold, courageous prayers to the mighty God. You see, that's who you're praying to, the mighty God who can intervene. And watch how peace, a peace that doesn't make sense because it's his peace, but a peace that shows up when the waves are coming over the side of the boat, not when the storm has passed. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Anybody here ever felt overlooked or maybe unseen, ignored, bullied? I remember a couple of services ago when I asked that question. I saw young people, they weren't raising their hands, but I saw young women just nodding their heads. Maybe you're not even telling anybody how you're being bullied online, in person. Maybe your friends, your parents, maybe nobody knows. First of all, let someone know. But maybe who you need is the everlasting Father. And you're like, well, wait a minute, Greg. I thought he was with the Father, but not the Father. It's true. This is a kingly title. So if you were a king, you were considered the father of your kingdom, the father of your nation. You see, what we're seeing here is that we have an everlasting Father. This is an eternal King who is your champion. Anyone who needs a champion, Jesus is not just with you. He is not just Emmanuel, God with us. He is Emmanuel. He is God for you. I'm telling you, he is your champion. And get this, you get to the book of Hebrews, and he tells you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. For anyone who needs a champion in this day because of what you're facing, remember, this King is everlasting Father. But he is, of course, Prince of Peace. I mean, that's the obvious one, right? We live in a world that is not peaceful. But the prophecy tells us that there will come a day when Jesus will deal with all of this, all of the unrest, all of the hurt, all of the sin, all of the brokenness, and he will have the last word, and he will reign forever and ever, and there will be peace. I believe that. It's not just wishful thinking. But as best I can tell, it hasn't happened yet. If you want to know where we are in the timeline, we are someplace between when the king was born and when he will return again and finish the job. And so until then, what do? I say we face the truth and cling to the truth that he is enough, that he is with us, that he is for us. You see, chaos doesn't win. Darkness doesn't cover the light. Heartache doesn't have the last word. I believe because Jesus is King that he gets the last word. And those of us who trust him, now we get to reflect his light and his love into this world. So let's be people who speak the truth boldly, but let's listen generously, and let's be gentle and kind and gutsy and outrageously generous, and let's forgive in ways we never even thought we could, all because it points us to the King, and the King wins. The King is the one who gets the last word. He is Sar Shalom in the Hebrew. He is the Prince of Peace, and I'm counting on him now and forever. And if you start to let some of those things settle in, you will find things like joy and hope and peace, and maybe even worship. How about that? Anybody here longing for a little wonder, a little childlike awe in this cynical world? You know how we know everything and we've heard everything and we like to give an opinion on everything? Anybody want just a touch of what it's like to be a 3-year-old again, when you just see the world with fresh eyes? Can I give you just a very specific, clinically proven way for you to increase your wonder? Like this week, can I give it to you? Okay, great, thanks. I know the sites were just screaming, yes, okay. So here it is. There was some research that came out last week from King's College in London. And it said that if you practice this, you will actually get a sense of wonder in your life, and it lowers cortisol. That's the stress hormone, lowers it by 22%, lowers inflammation markers even further. But it's all connected to something that they call slow looking. It's weird. Slow looking. What it is you see something that kind of grabs your attention, and you just take it in for like 10 minutes or more. You slow look it, and you just begin to notice all of the beauty, all the stuff that's, whatever it is that you're, and it's just, now, if I'm gonna be honest with you, the whole experiment took place in a museum. So that means they're walking around and looking at works of art. And if you saw a work of art that just kind of captured your attention, then you stood there for a few minutes and your body calmed and all of that. And as soon as I start talking about museums, some of you are breaking out in hives, okay? So I'm not saying you gotta go to a museum. I'm saying let's take this clinical insight, combine it with what we know to be true about the Bible and see where it leads us. Because we read in the Psalms, be still and know that I am God. Okay, so maybe we can just be still and pay attention to the story. We can slow look the story. Has anybody learned something today that you go, well, I think I kind of forgot that about the Christmas story? Maybe that's something you settle in on. Or maybe just start with the people in your life that God has blessed you with. Now, I know this. We say this whenever we gather for big holidays. You're about to gather with family and friends. You're sitting next to some of them right now. Some of you are a little nervous about how it's going to go. Like, is it going to get dramatic? Is Uncle Joe going to behave himself? How's this going to go? Is so-and-so going to like the present I gave him because they're always so big? I mean, you've got all sorts of things that you're thinking, right? I'm saying give it a slow look. Like the little ones. Like, these could be the children of your friends, they could be your kids, they could be your grandkids, your nieces and nephews. Just give them a slow look, and you're like, how can I give them a slow look? They're bouncing all over the room, they're all hopped up on Christmas sugar. Yeah, you're right. That's why we stare at them when they're asleep, amen? You could give people a little bit older a slow look. Just notice these gifts in your life. Do not, let me say this again, do not, write this down, text yourself, do not go up to somebody tomorrow and go, Pastor Greg said I'm supposed to stare at you for 10 minutes. No, that is not what I said. That's creepy. That's stalky. Don't do that. But you could slow look somebody and go, wow, what a gift you are. It might be at the other end of the table when they're telling a story and everybody's laughing. It might be sitting around and y'all are talking and you just are struck again with, my goodness, you're a talented person. Wow, is she smart. Man, is he inspiring. Man, are they a gift in my life? It could be, how about this? Not in the research, this is me. Give them a slow listen. Like, you're in the next room and you hear laughter, you hear a story, you hear people cleaning up dishes, they're playing a game, you're about to drift off to sleep. give them a slow listen. I can pick out my wife's voice. I can pick out her laugh in a group of thousands. I promise you, I know where Robin is sitting. I can even, if I really slow down, I can still pick out a little bit of Texas in her talking. And some of you are a little bit of well, you should have known her back in the day. That's all I'm telling you. My point is, we have an opportunity to slow down, to let the awe catch up. And when you do that, there's a gratitude, of course. But ask yourself this question: why would God bless me in such a way? Why would God give me all of these gifts? And why would he keep inviting me deeper and deeper and deeper into this story? You see, the story is that we get to enjoy this life together, but for those of us who trust in Jesus, that life stretches into eternity. Why would he do this? The hope, the joy, the love, the peace. It all comes back to Jesus. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That's who he is, and he changes everything. But I can't tell you all the words. I can't keep up with how he... I totally agree with Lloyd. I don't have the ability to explain everything that Jesus is, but I do know what the scriptures tell me. He shall be called... Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, he is the Holy One of Israel, the Son of Righteousness, the chief cornerstone, the resurrection and the life. I've told you this before, but he is the Lamb of God and the Son of God and the Son of Man and the Lord of all. He is Lord God, Holy Lord Emmanuel. He's the way, the truth, the life. He is the light of the world. He is the head of the church. He is the man of sorrows. He is the prince of peace. He is rabbi and master and savior and advocate, righteous judge. He is the bright and morning star. Do you know what that means? That means he is the first flicker of hope that will remind us of a dawn that will not end. He is God's only son. He is Alpha. He was there in the beginning. He is Omega, and he will be there at the end. I am telling you, my Jesus will stand at the end. He is king of all. And he enters this story in the most humble of ways. I mean, how much does God love us? The one who speaks the universe into existence now has to learn how to speak. The one who crafted galaxies now has to learn how to talk. He does this to make a way for us to be with him forever. You see, that's really what this is about. That's the invitation for you to consider this Jesus. You remember a minute ago when I said to you, turn to your neighbors and tell them one really good invite story. And I can almost guarantee you that in many of the pockets of conversation, many of you looked at each other and said, I don't have one. I can't think of a really cool invitation story. Well, you've got one now. You've been invited to consider the King of Glory. You've been invited into a life with him. You've been invited to continue this life with him. I say we take our cue from the shepherds. What do they say? You remember? Let's just go check it out. Let's see this thing that has happened. That's the invitation. Will you consider this, Jesus? I'm going to tell you, in the new year, we're going to cover everything from anxiety to AI, from how to read your Bible to how things end in the book of Revelation. Let's just keep listening to Jesus and learn who he is. And I will tell you this. I've said it every service so far. If you're worried about kind of getting into a conversation with us, I don't think anybody comes to Christ after losing an argument. Nobody here is interested in starting an argument. We just happen to think that Jesus is everything, and he changes everything, and he is worth everything. And if that's true, then it seems to me like we ought to go back and finish that song that we just barely started a few minutes ago. Would you all do that with us? Are you ready to do that? One more time, I'm so glad that you came. Merry Christmas. But I'm going to ask now if you would to stand, and if you're ready, let's worship this one who is worthy of everything.